Hello, and welcome to the OTP, the one true podcast for fanfiction readers, writers, and lovers. I am your usual host and mod, Enthusiasm Girl. Now, I know that it's been a while. You're really excited for us to get into our long-awaited ABO episode. But first, I do have some really exciting podcast announcements to make. For regular listeners, I want to apologize because I know that last year we had sort of a couple of long hiatuses, and those were just due to life stuff getting in the way of things for me. I have a lot of contributors, but in terms of the behind-the-scenes stuff, it has generally, up to this point, been primarily a one-woman operation. But no more. We actually have a new mod who is going to be joining us. And this episode, you get me. Next episode, it could be her. It's a familiar voice, too. It's Joan, who you might remember from our Homestuck episode a while back. That's why I had to use your usual when I introduced myself. Instead of just saying I was host and mod, I might have to change that wording a bit going forward. I'm really excited for Joan to take on some more responsibilities with the show and join us in a bigger way than just as a contributor. Not that I don't love all of my contributors, but she's really going to help me not only manage my own life stuff with the show better from a time management point of view, but also she's going to help me to broaden the show's ability to speak to different types of fans. I know we've had numerous requests for episodes about things like anime. They're not my jam. Joan is going to really help us take on some new topics in some new ways and make things a little bit less Marvel-focused around here, allow us to kind of speak to some different fandoms than we previously maybe have been. A couple more quick things that you'll also notice are changing related to the show. Our website is new and improved. We have discus commenting happening now, so you can comment on the episodes and other show content there. It also does continue to be our Tumblr as well. It can actually be found now at theotpodcast.com. So please check that out. You can stream all of our episodes there, read bios of our contributors, find our fic recs. You can access it via RSS or Tumblr as well if you'd like for some really great fan fiction content. I've also got a helper there. Thank you, Lita. So it should be updated a little more regularly. Our Twitter is also going to be a lot more active. You can follow us at the OT Podcast, and you can use the hashtag OT Podcast to tweet about the show. And again, I've got some help there this time from Z, so we'll be updating it more regularly, asking questions, engaging people on that front, if you've noticed it kind of was a little bit dead last year. That being said, our dream width is, it's not going away, but we are going to really cease using it. We'll leave a forum up there to continue to talk about new episodes, but we will not be updating it regularly or posing our questions there the same way. This will also be the last episode that we archive on AO3. So if you subscribe there, make sure that you come and find us somewhere else. We are on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, literally 99% of the podcasting apps out there, or maybe just bookmark our site, which again is theotpodcast.com. We will be leaving the old episodes up on AO3 to preserve the comments, but we're really going to move to using that account more for wrecking fix and possibly maybe, I hope maybe some meta in the future. And the reason for those changes is that we really just wanted to make sure to concentrate our online presence a little more and encourage everyone to be in one place to continue the great conversations about fandom that we do get started on the show. So moving on. Today's episode, as I said, is the ABO episode, which is super explicit. I do tag the show explicit on iTunes for a reason, which I'm sure every listener knows, but this week especially, do not listen with children present because you may traumatize them. In fact, maybe don't listen with somebody who doesn't know fic present because Katie actually did traumatize somebody with ABO talk at a convention, which was interesting, but it's happened, so... I'm joined by Lita and Chris. Our conversation was pretty hilarious. We get into everything from actual character dynamics translated to ABO, to self-lubricating assholes, to how ABO interacts with existing genders and queer identities in the real world. So I'm not going to keep you anymore. Let's get to it. I've got Lita and I've got Chris with me, and we are going to do the episode that I have been talking about literally since the second episode of the show when we talked about gender, which is today we are going to solely just talk about what is for some people a guilty pleasure that they would never speak about in polite company, and for others an absolute hated thing that every time they pass they just think, why is this a thing? And for others is one of their favorite fic tropes of all time, which is ABO, alpha beta omega dynamics in fan fiction. I feel the need to lay out some definitions, actually, of what ABO is, actually, before we start. So when we talk about alpha, beta, omega dynamics, we are talking about the specific fic trope that kind of goes back to, I want to say that they are wolfier fandoms, like Supernatural and Teen Wolf, and it is a very sexual trope involving wolf sex, basically. And Lita, do you want to elaborate a little more on what that is?
Sure. So there's different varieties of alpha, beta, omega. But the thing all of them have in common is that humans are divided up into alphas and betas and omegas. And omegas have reproductive heat cycles like wolves do. During which time they go into heat and they have to mate, otherwise terrible things will happen. Kind of varies of either they die or they just suffer miserably. And the alphas, depending on the trope, sometimes the alphas like compete over the omegas and are very, it's based on like wolf packs where there's the alpha wolf who is the most powerful and dominant, and then the omega is the least dominant wolf in the pack. And then the betas are usually just all the people who you didn't want to bother making alphas or omegas.
Okay. All right. Now, Chris, do you have anything to add that Lita kind of left out that you think is important to understanding just the basics of this trope?
Just that it's extremely versatile, and there doesn't really seem to be a wrong way or a right way to do it. You can leave out betas as a sex entirely. You can have, there are all sorts of elements, it varies a lot. About the only thing that seems consistent to me is that people choose to call it part of the ABO trope. And it did start but it didn't really start, like, I think a misconception is that it started in Teen Wolf, but I think people have traced it and it actually started in Supernatural, not necessarily connected either to, like, werewolves or anything like that. It seems to have originated all on its own in a fit of madness in one of the kink memes and taken off.
Yeah, I mean, I went looking, right? Because mm-hmm. fan lore, its page will tell you that it's a Supernatural fandom thing. Yeah. I went looking on AO3 to kind of see, just tracing the tag, like, what's the earliest cases that you could see the tag being used? And it predated AO3. Like, I uh-huh. went back and it seemed like most of it was happening in Supernatural and Teen Wolf fandom, but mm-hmm. it clearly didn't start there. And yeah, I mean, the only real thing about it that seems to be consistent from fic to fic is that you have these two new genders overlaid on top of the existing set of genders, and that mm-hmm. one of them is really, really dominant, and one of them goes into heat. Like, mm-hmm. that's really the only one part of it that I've ever seen be consistent. Mm-hmm. Other than that, do it however you want, redefine it however you want, and mm-hmm. the fun of ABO is kind of in the world building, right?
Totally.
So that being said, I mean, it's a very sexual trope, right? We're talking mm-hmm. about most of what you're transforming is the sexual experiences that the characters are having. Mm-hmm. Chris, we'll start with you. What appealed to you about ABO initially or not initially, if you became like a later fan of it? How did you kind of get into ABO, and then why do you enjoy it now?
So I'm pretty sure I was reading it right as it was emerging. I think the first fic that the lovely folks on AO3 who put together that primer identified as like the first ABO fic was I Ain't No Lady, which emerged on actually a bestiality thread in one of the kink memes in Supernatural. And I found it purely for the kink, for nodding. And I was kind of following that and all the other fics that ballooned out from that. Like, there were none, and then there were 15, and then they had their own live journal community. And almost as fast as, like, the idea, like, it didn't get called ABO originally. Like, I think the idea of nodding being prevalent in fic happened first. But there was, like, that same little description that had been on the kink meme, and everybody used that description every time they did an ABO fic. And even from the beginning, they were already playing with the gender roles. You know, you got three or four fics where alphas were super dominant and omegas were oppressed. And then immediately I was seeing in the Supernatural fandom fics where all of a sudden the alphas were the race or were the segment of the population that were looked down upon. And it was the omegas who held power. And, like, as fast as we came up with that trope, we undid it. Like,
well, it's interesting that We've referred to Alpha Beta Omega as being about sex, gender, mm-hmm. and you just call them a race, because really a lot of ABO, those are all terms that can be kind of applied to one or the other group, because a mm-hmm. lot of ABO is simply about making one group marginalized in some
totally.
Way, right? So that's, if you hear us use those terms interchangeably and you're like, wait, ABO, like, are omegas are not a race. Like, omegas are not a gender. Like, what are they? We're using those terms because whichever group you're writing about, one of them is usually oppressors and one of them is usually oppressed, right? Like, one mm-hmm. of them is usually more marginalized than the other.
There's also some question about, like, is alpha and omega, is that a sex or a gender? Because there mm-hmm. are... There frequently there's male and female alphas and male and female omegas, and then you can ask the question of, well, what's the difference in reproductive organs between a male mm-hmm. omega and a female omega if both of them can get pregnant by mm-hmm. a male alpha or a female alpha? And so it kind of becomes this really mixed up question of are there six genders and three sexes, or are there six sexes and three genders, or it's all kind of up in the air and you can turn it into whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, if we started to get into the weeds, and we might as this mm-hmm. continues, anatomically or, like, evolutionarily, if you think too hard about ABO, it's problematic for a number of reasons, which we might talk about. It makes no sense.
I actually... there is a link that I'll send you that is an essay that a friend of mine wrote specifically about mm-hmm. this issue. She was an anthropology major, and she wrote up anthropologically what parts make sense and what parts don't.
Well, even a lot of the stuff coming from actual wolf biology that people assume about alphas and omegas mm-hmm. actually has been proven to not be true.
Totally.
Like, all of that research has been debunked about the ways in which wolves form wolf packs, and there's omegas mm-hmm. and alphas within a wolf pack. It's all been debunked as behavior that's only seen in captivity. It's not seen in the wild, right? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to me that it became a fandom thing and that we were talking about it, because it's just, it's one of the more out there ones. Mm-hmm. So, Lita, we'll come over to you and ask, you know... what appealed to you initially or didn't about ABO fandom? How did you kind of find it and come to it? And what do you like about it now?
So the first ABO fic I read was an Avengers fanfic, which I actually just went back to AO3 and found it. It was one in which some villain has... it's like a society where all the omegas are on heat suppressant drugs. So in order to equalize society... And a villain has developed a weapon that will neutralize the suppressants, the idea mm-hmm. being that they would then fire this weapon on a city and all the alphas would fight each other and all the omegas would go into heat and it would be, like, total chaos. Mm-hmm. And the fic was – ultimately, it was, like, an Avengers orgy fanfic, but that was where I first found it. And I thought the idea of the heat suppressants was really, really interesting, but – kind of my favorite thing about ABO is the heat cycle, because I really like sex pollen, which is a very similar yes. trope in that it's kind of like you have this biological need to have sex and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's kind of a shameful thing and it's kind of a dubious consent thing. And that's what I enjoy reading about. So I'm into it for that part. I'm not so much into it for the nodding or the mpreg or the claiming or all those other parts that are frequently in ABO fic.
Well, let's break that down and let's talk about some of the tropes that you might see or not see, right? Because we said it varies. I know, just to break down kind of the three groups, in most of the ABO fics that I've read, but not all, alphas, they'll go into a rut, right? So if a character is an alpha, they'll have a rut. They will uncontrollably just need to put their dick in something. Like, that's just how it gets. And there's an aggression that comes with that. Whether or not they are the marginalized group or are not the marginalized group sometimes depends upon how much control alphas are perceived as having, whether that society perceives them as out of control or whether that society perceives them as entitled in a way, right? But they are the kind of aggressive, masculine having trait, those kinds of traits, right? Like toxically masculine traits is what I'm talking about here, of like that kind of entitlement and aggression, basically. And usually you have omegas where, as you said, they have the heat cycle. It's like sex pollen, right? They have a whole cycle that they go through where they need to basically
be penetrated.
They need to take it. And along with that comes certain tropes as well, like the thing about ABO for a lot of people is self-lubricating assholes. Uh-huh. That is frequently a part of the biology of an omega, right? That they can self-lubricate. Frequently nodding will be a part of ABO sex as well.
You should probably explain what nodding is for listeners who might not know.
Okay. Yeah. Which one of you wants to take that on?
I'll do it.
Okay.
In canines and lupines and things of that family, when the male of the species is aroused and mates, it has a knot of tissue at the base of the penis that will engorge so that the penis doesn't dislodge, so that maximum amounts of sperm are effective and don't get lost in the process. And it ties the two members of the, you know, the mating couple together, theoretically longer so that better chances of fertilization and things like that. And that was what first got adopted into the supernatural kink meme, just specifically like that part. All of a sudden, everybody, whether they were werewolves or whether there was anything else, they were all nodding each other, which can be a really cool, once you get over the fact that it's canine biology, and that's sometimes a deal breaker for some people. I mean, this is why it arose on a bestiality like thread. But once you get over that, you know, it can provide an opportunity. You've tied these two characters together after the act for some length of time, which can be anywhere from minutes to hours, depending on the writer, and just provides a really interesting opportunity.
Right, and it's not present necessarily in all ABO.
ABO has
become a kind of a, I'm going to leave the parts of it that squick me at the door, but I'm going to write my version of it thing. I feel like nodding is probably, for some people, tied to kinks related to, like, cum inflation. Yeah. And I'm now reminding myself to make sure I put a content warning at the top of this episode. Just because this is going to probably be the kinkiest one we've done, right? But yeah, I feel like nodding is also sometimes tied to that too, yeah. Right?
What's also, I think, tied to like size queen kind of
totally.
Fanfic too, a lot of the time.
Totally.
Yeah. And ABO also has close ties, I think, to BDSM universes, when you're talking about the level of domination and ownership of another person that's involved in it. Sometimes you'll get a particular fic where it takes on that dynamic, right? Because the omega is definitely, in society even, supposed to belong to this person. Mm. And even there's notions of like, oh, their cum automatically makes this person softer and flabbier and weaker and kind of all about them. Like, you get that sometimes. So.
I have not heard that one before, but that's really interesting.
But, like, I've seen that where you get that, right? Where, like, it instills, after that first mating, like, this person just wants to be maternal and wants to take on that role of, like, the good omega. Mm. And that ties into, like, daddy kink stuff even, or praise kink stuff. There's a lot of praise kink I find when you're writing omega characters.
There's also a lot of I don't know what the right word is, like impregnation kink, like not so much the pregnancy but the
breeding
fertilization act.
Yes, Mm-hmm. Which gets us into the other trope that, you know, is a take it or leave it one that some people include in their ABO and some don't, which is mpreg. Mm-hmm. For some authors, the mpreg might even be the whole point. Mm-hmm. It's what they came for.
Mpreg being men getting pregnant, in case anybody didn't know.
Truth.
If you're, the thing is, I always am, it's a struggle for me to know, because it's a fan fiction podcast, much people are going to know coming in. I personally assume if you're in the world of fic, you must know what mpreg is, but that's not always true. So yeah, it's male pregnancy. But yeah, so there's fics I've read that are ABO where it's like, I'm going to put my pups in you, and mm-hmm. they'll use that phrasing. So ABO is it's a very broad swath mm-hmm. of whether or not it's going to squick you out is really going to depend on a particular author, right? And how they've tagged it. And there's definitely the potential for you to come across an ABO where there's nothing in it that you find objectionable. And it almost reads like normal sex with a few little quirks. And then there's fics you're going to read where you're going to be like, dear Lord, what's wrong with fandom? Lita, we'll come to you and ask, why do you think it appeals to fandom? Like, why is it so popular where you have ABO fics just infiltrating every fandom, no matter how ridiculous ABO might seem it within it?
I think there's a lot of factors. One thing I've seen is, my own personal theory is that a lot of the time, women who are writing ABO fic are often writing slash pairings where it's just men, and it's kind of a way to write het sex between men sometimes. So I know there are some women who aren't really that comfortable with actually writing sex scenes with women in them. And this is kind of a way of, once you've got like a guy who has a self-lubricating sex organ through which he can get pregnant, like it's basically a vagina at that point. And so the sex is basically heterosexual sex. So sometimes I think it's a way to write that without having to write about a woman, which is kind of sad, because as someone who likes writing about women, but I understand that there are many other people who are just not comfortable writing about women's sex scenes for their own personal reasons.
Or you just want to keep the dick.
and you don't want to change the gender of mm-hmm. the two people in your pairing. You want to get away with all the rest of that, all the benefits that you mentioned of basically writing het sex, but you don't want to change the gender or the characterization particularly of the people in the pairing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another thing is it's the different like roles between like alpha and omega, especially if one is like discriminated against. I think that's a way a lot of people can explore basically sexism, but in a world where it's a little bit removed from the real world.
Totally.
Yeah, it gives people some distance, right? And I think when we're talking about people not wanting to change the gender, but wanting to, you know, explore the genitalia, basically, I also think that on the one hand, you know, it is a little sad, and we've talked on the show before about sometimes the ways that kind of, I'm going to call it subconscious internalized misogyny, because I don't want it to be like a blame thing where anyone listening is like, I'm not internally misogynistic. It's not. It's fan fiction doesn't exist in a vacuum, right? So the things that exist in society and the media kind of come into it. But I also think that it, again, adds that distance. So the thing for a lot of people about writing heterosexual sex might not necessarily be that they don't want to write a woman. It just might be that it's too close to the real world, especially when you're talking about power dynamics that are uneven. The minute you make the character a woman, it brings to mind a lot of different aspects of that power dynamic. So it's a way of writing about those unbalanced power dynamics, but keeping actual real world aspects of kind of gender and sexism out of it, and still having that removed to be able to explore those dynamics and have a vagina and have it resemble het sex, but you're still not getting uncomfortably close to, like, writing about real-world things related to that, right? Do you know what I mean?
Fair, yeah.
I think we forget about that sometimes when we're talking about internalized misogyny. Like, I think it's there, but I think sometimes people don't write female characters because they live their life as a woman, and they just would rather not bring a lot of the baggage and bullshit that comes with that on the day-to-day into fic. So, you know, keeping female characters out of it is just a way to do that.
Fair.
I just want to point that out because, like, I think it's interesting to think about why women don't want to necessarily write women, right? And there's so many different reasons. But, yeah, I mean, it's hugely, hugely popular in slash fic, definitely. And you don't see it in fem slash the same way.
There is some. I mean, definitely. I have read Teen Wolf fem slash ABO fic before. Mm-hmm. And I think I checked on AO3, and let's see, I wrote down the numbers. There are 18,000 works on AO3 that are tagged for ABO. 16,000 of them were tagged for male-male, and I think like 2,000 were female-female. Mm-hmm. So proportionally, it's not a large percentage, but 2,000 fanfics is mm-hmm. more than some fandoms have in them. So
yeah, that's actually, I was going to say proportionally it doesn't seem like a lot, but when you remember that that equals pretty much the proportions of slash to fem slash anyway.
Totally.
Some of that is background pairings, because I know I read a lot of Teen Wolf ABO fic in my time, and it was usually like 99% steric, and in the background there would be like Allison and Lydia or something like that.
Which is, again, representative of the general distribution of fic. So.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Do you find, coming from Teen Wolf fandom with ABO, Lita, and Chris, you might have experienced this as well, depending on the fandoms you're in, but... In fandoms where there's actually werewolves, do you find that a lot more ABO is of the shapeshifty variety, where it veers closer to the wolf stuff?
No, I mean, you'll find in Teen Wolf fanfic there's nodding that's not ABO. So there's, mm-hmm. I mean, nodding comes out as a separate thing that, like, werewolves who are not in Omegaverse will still do nodding in some cases, and they still have a different alpha and omega dynamics, but it's not... the mm-hmm. Omega verse. Within the Omega verse, it's usually the same as any non-werewolf. Usually they're not even werewolves. I mean, the Teen Wolf fics I've read that are in Omega verse don't actually involve anybody turning into werewolves. They're just total alternate universe. And there's all sorts of crazy things I've seen in there. I think one of the most interesting takes on it I saw was one that was like a Hunger Games style Omega, like, reaping, where the alphas pick the omegas from, like, all the omegas would gather in, like, the town square, and the alphas would come and, like, choose which one they were gonna mate with for life. It's just interesting things like that. But that has nothing to do with werewolves. It had, like, nothing to do with werewolves.
And actually, there are a couple of interesting ones, I think, that I've read where they do have werewolves and it's Omegaverse, and they talk about the distinction between the gender ABO and the pack dynamic ABO, or even have, like, I think there was a really interesting one where Scott McCall, in particular, after he gets bit and turns into a werewolf, then his ABO gender changes to align with his pack dynamic gender. So not only was it discussing those two things and how they interacted, but it also became kind of a trans fic because it was him dealing with a gender that is different than the gender that he presented as, or different than the gender he thinks he's supposed to be.
I've seen those as well. I mean, a couple of fics like that in Marvel fandom related to Steve Rogers, too, where you're layering the ABO on top of the fact that he gets the serum, and either he was an alpha, but nobody took him seriously as an alpha when he was smaller, and now they do, or vice versa. So,
or he was an omega and turned into an alpha when he got the serum.
Right. Or didn't, right? And it's all about expectations of gender, and it's all about kind of how society would treat one or the other and what those assumptions would be like, right? And yeah, I mean, you can get into really interesting explorations of gender. You can get into things that feel like they're veering on talking about trans issues in ABO fic. And, you know, it's interesting to me that it can kind of run the gamut from those kinds of things to, like, just pure smut.
Yep.
Just the purest of smuts. It kind of just is a pretty big catch-all term, really.
Well, the other thing that it can turn into is this kind of like body horror where like Enthusiasm Girl, I know you are a big fan of the sudden Alpha Beta Omega universe, mm-hmm. where we're in the normal universe and then some magic happens and all of a sudden everybody's turned into alphas, betas, and omegas, and it's this kind of like, oh my god, what is happening to my body? I have no idea what's going on here. Why do I feel like this? That kind of struggle, kind of like more. Body horror struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish there was more of that, because I think I've read two, and one of them I prompted. and I enjoy that trope, though, because I think that it takes very seriously the idea of how would that work in our real world? How would that layer itself on top of the existing system of gender and sexuality that we have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of helps to illuminate what are the differences between the world we have now and this world that you're trying to lay out. So you suddenly have things like, if you're an alpha and somebody else who you are in love with is an alpha, you no longer smell sexually attractive to each other. Like, you are just no longer two sexually compatible people. And what happens, it can be a body horror thing, yeah, of like experiencing a sudden heat, experiencing a sudden out of control rut. Like, how do those things kind of get handled in a world like the one that we have right now? When you layer that on top, it just becomes really interesting to me. And even in a universe that's not sudden, there are body horror aspects for sure to ABO, right? To especially the more extreme ABO universes, right? Because I've read ABO universes where it's really transformative when Omega gets mated for the first time, as I mentioned earlier. And I've read universes where the people are in the fic are much more a slave to their biology than mm-hmm. in some others, right? Where the heats are just absolutely maddening, or where an alpha takes advantage of an omega and mates with them, and that omega does not want to be in that relationship with that person, and so they've got all these bodily changes, or they've got empreg happening, or they've got things happening that they have literally no control over, especially fics that pair like a villain with a hero, where the villain mates with them, and that's it.
Yeah, those are the ones where there's like the claiming where once they're mm-hmm. mated forever and there's no like going back on it or.
Right. Yeah. And there's biting too.
Where yeah. Like yeah. That's the claiming where it's like biting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, and that gets another trope that gets included a lot is like mating, like soul bonding, like mating for life. And it can be voluntary like that, and it can also be involuntary. I think especially in Teen Wolf, there's a lot of like the alphas don't not unless they're with their one true mate, sort of stuff.
Yeah, so there's a million directions that you can go with it, and it sounds like it would only be stuff that's really kinky, but I've read fluffy ABO fics, right?
Especially the Empreg ones can get very fluffy.
Oh,
totally.
God, they can get super curtain fic, domestic, right? And then you also can sometimes have ones that are very chill and almost gen fic, or almost like they're about people who are taking suppressants and they're mature adults and there's no consent issues and there's a 45-minute conversation about consent and
those are my favorite.
And the two characters who both, you know, one of them is an omega and doesn't want to appear like an omega normally appears and goes out of their way mm-hmm. to like use scent blockers and not have people know, and then the other character is an alpha but they never want to be perceived as an alpha, and mm-hmm. so there are fics like that too that are super mild, where you don't have 90% of these tropes that we're talking about, and it's just kind of one more way for fic to explore basic ideas of consent, really, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the kind of more problematic aspects. I mean, we talked about ABO when we talked about our show on gender, because it came up as being, as you said, Lita, sometimes it really does feel like, you know, you're trying to craft a man with both a dick and he has a vagina. I've read ABO where literally they will refer to it as a pussy, and I'm always, when I read that, like, I'm done. That's one of my
points,
but
it's I struggle with it because on the one hand, like, intersex people do exist, and you know there are people who have all sorts of different sex organs. And so I don't want to be, like, dismissive of that as a thing. But on the other hand, I'm kind of like, if you wanted him to have a vagina, just like give him a vagina. It doesn't, because I get, what bothers me honestly is when you turn your rectum into a birth canal, because like I'm just thinking about like bacteria and like if a baby came out through that passage, wouldn't they get infections and like those kinds of things bother me.
Well, and I love the fics that deal with that, that like try to explain the biology of why that's functional and what else happens to a body, and like that's why it only happens during heat or whatever, because the body prepares itself, and so like the omegas stop eating for that week or whatever, and
or they grow another opening somewhere in their system.
Yep.
Yeah, I read a Daredevil fic that I'm obsessed with it. Like I love
this is the one with the internal opening to the birth.
Yes.
The uterus.
So this is this is the one where Foggy is like a beta, but the notion is that betas can become one or the other depending on what triggers their body. So he's not like a pure alpha or pure omega, but then like Matt goes into heat and Matt's in a rut. And he offers to help Matt, and in doing so, in the middle of them fucking, he, like, is in the bathroom, and he's like, oh, my cervix, like, dropped and opened. Like, that's never happened to me before. Like, only a really powerful heat can trigger that to happen because I'm a beta. And it's like him feeling it, and it is basically a vagina, like, the way it's described, right? But I was so, like, it's like rubbernecking a car crash, but in a good way. Like, at that point, I'm reading the fic being like, this should gross me out, but I'm just so fascinated with what's in this author's head now that it's conceived of this. It was so interesting. And also, fandom has enough issues, I think, with writing anal sex with no experience with anal sex in a lot of cases without adding ABO to, like, confuse everybody about, you know, how anal sex works to begin with, right?
Well, you don't have to worry about lube if you've got a self-lubricating asshole, so.
I was gonna say, I think that's one of the aspects that is why it appeals to fandom so heavily, because it's fandom-wide, it's this fandom-wide shared thing, and you can break whatever rules you want. You don't have to worry about lube. You can or cannot worry about conception if you want. You can break all of these rules that usually you get nitpicked for, especially if you're a new author, that you get nitpicked for. And now it can be whatever rules you want it to be. Make it as easy or as hard as you want.
Yeah, as a person who my actual sexual experience in real life is what has prevented me from writing a lot of smut, because I'm like, I don't know. I can't even do it, like, in real life. Like, how can I put this into fic? I feel like, ABO is kind of freeing in that sense, because you could just write whatever you want happening down there.
However you want the biology to work, that's how it works.
None of this worrying about birth control, none of this worrying about actual positioning, none of this worrying about how it actually functions.
One of the really interesting things that I found is the fem/ABO fic usually involves the alpha female having an additional organ, which is typically prehensile. So, like, unlike, it's almost like a tentacle. So it almost turns into tentacle porn, when it's like the one woman has like a regular vagina and the other one has, usually she also has a vagina, but then also has this other thing, which I don't remember the word that I saw used for it most often, but it's some other, and it's usually like smaller than a dick, and it's usually prehensile. And I just thought that's interesting, because I've seen that in multiple fem/ABO fics.
Well, I'm glad that we're talking about the fact that there seems to be a healthy appetite for fem/ABO as well, because when we were talking in the gender episode, that was one of the big things, is that in addition to kind of excluding women from the narrative in the sense that you're now not writing a gender swap, but you're giving a male character essentially a vagina, or in addition to some of the icky ways that kind of ABO can treat gender, that we were talking about whether or not the very concept of ABO kind of only makes sense in a world that doesn't already have two genders. So you're kind of like, in your head, especially when you're writing it with male characters, excluding the fact that women exist almost from the narrative just to make this make any kind of sense, right? Most ABO fics that are slash are not either not including female characters or not explaining how that works for women. And and they're very hyper-focused on how the biology works for the male characters in a way that, okay, so why do you need women then? Right? And that can be a problem for a lot of people who are already kind of really seeking to make female characters more prominent in the world of fan fiction, or who would prefer to see it be less male-focused, right? Yeah. I could see them having a real issue with ABO because it's kind of yet another way to just kind of say, let's take women and pretend that they're not here, but more overtly. Like, let's literally take women and just imagine a world without women almost in some cases, depending on how it's written.
And I would say that a lot of that probably stems as much from, as we kind of discussed, just the already present gender distribution in fan fiction, not only just in what's written, but in the characters who are already present in the narrative. You know, I think I maintain that one of the biggest reasons we don't have more femslash is because we have so many fandoms have so few female characters or few well-written female characters on screen, so they don't become the pairing that you fall in love with, so they don't get the following. Whereas, like, one of my favorite ABO fics is Love in the Waste, I think, but it came out immediately after Mad Max, and it's full of women, because Mad Max is full of women. So, like, it deals with Furiosa as an alpha, and how the genitalia works there, and all the biology of that situation, but it's a fandom, you know, it's a show, it's a property that was full of women to begin with, so much more opportunity to include them.
Yeah, most of the ABO I've seen doesn't completely exclude women from existing in the universe. Usually they're there, they just never explain how they function reproductively. Like, it's usually just their side characters, so they'll be like, oh yeah, and you know, I'm thinking of like some of the Avengers fanfics. It's like, oh, Natasha is an alpha, but this fic is actually about like Steve and Tony, so it doesn't matter that Natasha's an alpha, we're not going to talk about it. Or the Teen Wolf fic, where it'll be like, yeah, Lydia is an alpha, but this fic is about Derek and Styles, so in the background there will be a mention of this, you know, or Scott and Allison are still a couple in this ABO universe, but they don't ever go into any detail on it, and I kind of wish they would, because it doesn't, like you said, if once you've got a partner who provides sperm and a partner who has a uterus, then why do you need an additional different appearing gender that also has those same characteristics? It doesn't really make biological sense anymore to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, right? Is that regardless of whether authors make the effort to include women or not, like, the basics of the trope just by their nature kind of exclude women. Like, you have to make the effort to include women in ABO. The trope itself just excludes them by the very nature of the things that are a part of it a lot of times.
Not entirely necessary that it excludes women, because the ABO doesn't necessarily have to be MPreg, right? It could just be heat cycles, and a heat cycle could be the difference between, you know, like, being fertile and not being fertile. So there's not necessarily a rule that you can only have sex during heat, or that, you know, the person who goes into heat is the one who gets impregnated. It could just be a difference between, like, fertility and not fertility. And in that case, you could still have male and female characters, and they could be alphas and they could be omegas, but it wouldn't, they would not have those, they would still have the same sex organs that humans have.
Yeah. No, I definitely, there's a lot of different ways that people can write it, and I've seen ABO that has excellent explorations of gender and representations of gender on either side happening, in the same way that I've seen ABO that on the one hand is a really good exploration of what assumptions are about how people will behave based on their alpha or omega, that kind of gets into the dynamics of a relationship versus I've seen ABO that just jumps wholeheartedly into kind of the worst arguments for a relationship should biologically be this way. Do you know what I mean? Like women totally. Want to stay at home and women want to cook for their husbands and women want to have the babies and men want to behave this way mm-hmm. in a toxic way. There's ABO that either can completely challenge that and shatter it. Mm-hmm. And then there's ABO that just jumps into it with both feet where suddenly you have this male character who's like wearing a pink fluffy apron and baking cookies for their alpha mm-hmm. While their alpha goes to war.
While they're pregnant with a litter of pups.
Yup.
That's particularly prevalent, I think, in the werewolf fandoms, is that you'll find a lot more mention of litters of pups.
Yep.
But I think when, especially when you get into the Empreg and like kind of the domestic curtain fic type of stuff that comes into ABO in that sense, I think the thing about ABO that I enjoy and the reason I can enjoy it, despite some of the problematic things about the tropes and issues people have, is because you do get things on both sides of that spectrum, right? It's an opportunity for authors to, in some cases, build more intricate worlds than in any other trope that I've seen, in any other type of AU. They are completely building this weird original world where they've thought through the anatomy and they've thought through the how society is structured and they've kind of thought through all these things. And it's just so interesting to read everybody's individual different take mm-hmm. on ABO. What do you guys think about the value of ABO in fandom and what can be really interesting and worthwhile about it? And Chris, we'll come back to you for that one.
I think it's remarkable as a trope that is present in so many fandoms that didn't arise from a canon. Like, there was no published, monetized work that had this, that this is what people drew, like, you know, Sentinelverse or anything else. Those came from something. This, we came up with this all on our own. Whatever depraved back corner of our mind, you know, it came out of, it was fandom-wide, and it was completely created outside of everything else. And so I think that, the fact that it's so prevalent and the fact that it is so versatile, it's very hard to do wrong. Even, like you say, in really problematic fics, that's still not ABO done wrong. It doesn't violate the trope in any way. You can have, yeah, like you say, leave your kinks at the door. You can take or leave whatever you want. And so it's also extremely forgiving to people in all kinds of different fandoms and at all kinds of different experience levels.
Excellent. Yeah, I think that's a really great answer, Chris, because it just, again, touches on the fact that everybody comes in to write fan fiction for different reasons, right? Everybody comes in with different headcanons. Everybody comes in with something unique to say that's relative to their own life experiences. And I think that there's nowhere in fan fiction that that's more apparent than when you start to read ABO. Lita, what do you think?
I think it's I like that ABO is, because it's this like fandom specific thing that isn't tied to any one canon, it gives you mm-hmm. a way to think about characters in every canon. So like, kind of like how everybody likes to do Harry Potter AUs and talk about, oh, which house would this mm-hmm. character be sorted into? I think one of the most fun things is pick up a new fandom and I'm like, oh, who would be the alpha and who would be the omega and why and what would happen if they were. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of those explorations that's really interesting to do. I think it's similar to the BDSM universe where you're like, oh, well, this Definitely. One would be a dom and this one would be a sub. And that's my other favorite fandom AU. But it's, I just think it's interesting to be able to take it as a trope and apply it everywhere and mm-hmm. find something interesting no matter where you apply it.
I'm also usually interested, too, in fandoms where you'll see people write the contradictory fic, where the character you wouldn't expect is the alpha and the character you wouldn't expect mm-hmm. is the omega, right? And how they behave and how they respond to each other on the basis of that. I think you're right. It's an interesting way to look at character, for sure. I want to bring up something we haven't brought up, which is interesting to me, which is, do you guys have any opinion whatsoever on betas? Because it's called alpha, beta, omega dynamics, but I feel like mm-hmm. Beta is literally, you could take it out of that phrasing and nobody would care. Like, have you ever read stories that have had an interesting take on a beta's role in any of the dynamics? Or is it always just kind of an afterthought of like, oh yeah, there's betas and those are just characters who we are so bland that we don't have an opinion as whether they'd be alphas or omegas? Alito, like, what do you think about the concept of beta in that?
There are only, like, most of the time I would be happy to get rid of betas entirely. But there's like, I think maybe three different times I've seen that it's been really interesting. One is, like that fic you mentioned where a beta could become an alpha or an omega in the right circumstances, because I think that does have some, as far as I know, that has some biological basis that there are some organisms that can change sexes according to the need. So that's kind of one interesting one. Another one is this idea of a universe where alphas and omegas are only a tiny percentage of the population. So most people are quote normal, which would be like the equivalent of betas, and only, you know, 1% of people are alphas or omegas, which makes it kind of interesting because then you can say the whole being an alpha or an omega, both of them can be discriminated against in different ways because most people are betas.
Or they're rare, right? Or they're very rare, and that's part of what's interesting.
Or then, I mean, and that kind of goes along with another one, which with the betas are the people who are responsible for keeping the world going while all the alphas and omegas are. You know, that's usually like this, like that Hunger Games style one I was talking about, where it's like, it might be like all omegas go into heat at the same time. And therefore the world would grind to a halt if there were not betas around to keep things going.
I know in the sudden ABO fix that I've read, the betas are just the people who aren't affected by whatever makes people alpha and omega. And their job in the fic is to just kind of be really confused by everything going on. And like you said, keep the world running, right? Of like, it only happens to select people.
Yeah, and you could go the full like three-sex species way where the betas also play a key role in reproduction, and you need all three of them in order to produce offspring. And I don't see many fics like that, but I think that's kind of another interesting way to think about it. Like I know you're an Enterprise fan. If you remember that episode Cogenitor, where there's this alien species where they have males and females and cogenitors, and the cogenitor provides an enzyme that's necessary to cause fertilization. So you need to have all three in order to fertilize an embryo. So that's, if you want to go like the OT3 route with your ABOverse, then you can kind of make betas have that specific function where some substance that their body produces is necessary.
Oh, somebody write that fic, please, because I've never read that. And now that you say that, if you're into poly and you want to write ABO, it'd be so interesting to me who you would make the beta, too. Then it becomes, from a character standpoint, like, who's the neutral person? Then you can get into, like, I know, like, Joan and I talked in the Homestuck episode about quadrants. Then you can get into, like, three-person dynamics of, like, who's the aggressive in-charge person and who's the person who's the group needs to take care of the most, and then who's the beta and why. It gets kind of interesting in that respect. Chris, what do you think about that?
Well, speaking about who's the calm person or the neutral person, like I've seen betas addressed that way, especially I think in some earlier fics in Teen Wolf, where they were like, they are the child rearers. They are, you want your pack to be comprised mostly of betas, and in a society where you have very few comparably alpha and omega people, then your pack will be mostly betas, and they're the ones you need them because they rear children, or because I've seen it too where they are like they just calm people down, whatever pheromones or whatever it is that they emit, they just diffuse situations, which would arguably be necessary in a society that could run as high strung as one would with, you know, alphas and omegas and all the crazy stuff they got up to. But I find it interesting because when the trope was first posited on the Supernatural Kink meme, betas weren't part of it. The prompt was a world where men are either alpha males or bitch males. Like from the beginning, betas were not, like that was something that arose later. I'm not sure why.
Probably because, I mean, I don't know if the beta part came along in Supernatural fandom, but I can easily see how it could have been added in Teen Wolf fandom because Teen Wolf literally has alphas, betas, and omegas in canon, not with the same like function as ABO fanfic, but
yeah, but we call them
but
that.
If you're going to take Teen Wolf, yeah, if you're going to take Teen Wolf and turn it into ABO and you already have people who are betas, it seems logical that you would keep some kind of betas.
I was going to say, Chris, that prompt sounds just like such a Supernaturally prompt. Like, this could, this, it just sounds like a thing that would come from Supernatural fandom.
Yeah. Well, and the full prompt is, so after that line it says, Jensen is a snotty prude who won't let anybody have his sweet little ass. Then he meets alpha male Jared, sort of a human Lady and the Tramp with dog-like sex.
So it's not even, it wasn't even, it was Supernatural RPS that it came from.
Oh, totally.
That makes it better. That makes it even better.
So I'm sorry, we're talking about ABO came from two fandoms that have lots of werewolves, and in any, every case, it had nothing to do with the werewolves.
Yep. So,
hilarious.
The other, to get back to the discussion of betas just a little bit, I wanted to say that Sherlock fandom, actually, there's a whole bunch of fics I've read where John Watson is a beta, and that's a problem because he's into Sherlock, but Sherlock is either an alpha or an omega. And there are a ton of those fics that I have read where it is John dealing with the fact that he feels inadequate for whatever reason because he's not the complementary gender to Sherlock. And I don't think I've seen that as much elsewhere, but for some reason, a ton of that in Sherlock.
I find that interesting, too, because I could see a character like Sherlock preferring that, just because I could see that being a type of a character who would not ever want to be a slave to his biology and would want to base those decisions on pure logic and be more attracted to a beta, even if physically he wasn't.
Yeah,
that's a headcanon that makes a kind of a weird sense to me.
Well, that's another thing that we didn't really talk about, but that that question of, like, what it means to be queer in an ABO universe, because in the ABO universe, the male alphas and male omegas being together is not an unusual thing. It's like the standard thing, and it's not weird for an alpha and an omega to be together regardless of secondary gender, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it. The idea of, like, well, what if an alpha and another alpha fall in love with each other? Like, what happens then in alpha, beta, omega universe? That doesn't get addressed very much, and I think it's kind of interesting to think about.
I think it's interesting you said that, because I literally just realized in the moment that you said that ABO universes erase the notion almost of somebody being homosexual or heterosexual or bisexual entirely from the narrative. Like, that'd be a non-issue in an ABO universe. But yeah, you're right, you could set that up as exploring it that way. Interesting.
That I recently actually read a Teen Wolf fic that was Omega Omega, and it was omegas who didn't like alphas. They didn't like their behavior. They didn't like the way they smelled. They didn't like how rough they were. They didn't like anything else. And so it was two omegas who formed a partnership, a mateship, or whatever, and just preferred to help each other through their heats that way. And it was just 100% more enjoyable of an experience for the two of them as an omega who also was going through the same thing.
I think way back in the gender episode, the fic I wrecked was Born from the Earth, which is a Avengers ABO fic, and I'm just now remembering that in that fic, a significant part of it is that Tony, who is the Omega, had a lot of early sexual experiences with another Omega, who he's still in love with, and when he hooks up with Steve Rogers later, who is an Alpha, Steve Rogers is such a strong alpha. Like, there's a whole breakdown in this fic of exactly his... He has his hormone levels checked, and they're like, you're like an off-the-charts alpha. And Tony kind of introduces... Well, but Tony introduces this OC who he's still kind of in love with as, like, why don't we form a pack? Because then it will offset your alpha hormones, and I love this person. So it turns into, like, a poly thing. Because he is in love with another Omega in the same way he would be with anybody else, right? It's like a deep bond. So you jogged my memory literally as we were talking about it, that yes, I have read a really good example of that, and that's how they did it. But I've also read more alpha-alpha, right?
Well, and yeah, and with that in mind, that brought to mind, there's a Teen Wolf fic that's Sour Skittles, Derek Stiles and Scott, where Scott's the Omega and Derek and Stiles are Alpha Alpha, but it takes two alphas to handle Scott. So.
At the same time, I hope.
Yes. Well, no, they traded off. In that one, they traded off because that was the point, was that one of them, they got home and one of them was exhausted, but the other one had just got off work and was apologizing for not being able to get off sooner when he knew it was heat day. So it was funny.
Well, that's kind of one of the quirks of your universe and how you're setting it up, because mm-hmm. in some of them, alphas are too possessive for a setup like that, mm-hmm. right? Like, it depends on how possessive and how monogamous you've set up your ABO universe to be, right? Mm-hmm. So that being said, we've already wrecked two fics, even if one of them was a previous fic wreck, so let's do actually proper fic wrecks before we get completely sidetracked. Mm-hmm. So Lita, we'll go to you. What's your fic wreck this episode?
So I am actually going to self-wreck a fic that I wrote, which I'm kind of embarrassed to do, but I really liked writing this fic. It's called Masquerade, and it is a Teen Wolf fanfic about Jackson being an Omega who does not want anyone to know he's an Omega, and this is a universe where there are still werewolves, and where becoming a werewolf takes you out of the ABO sex issue entirely and turns you into something else, which is a werewolf. I really enjoyed writing this fic because there was a lot of like world building and things like that. There's not actually really any sex in it, which is kind of strange for an ABO fic, I know. But anyway, it's basically a retelling of the first two seasons of Teen Wolf in this universe, where it's really all about Jackson pretending to be an alpha when he's really an Omega.
I can back that up, by the way. That was excellent.
Thanks.
And Chris, what is your fic rec for this episode?
I'm actually also gonna wreck a Teen Wolf fic, the 1920s ABO-verse. It takes the characters from contemporary Teen Wolf, puts them in the 1920s, sends half of them to war, but it includes both, discussions of what it means to be trans in that society. You've got Stiles, who... And I can't remember now, it's been too long since I've read it, but I think he's trans in multiple ways. I think that, like, he would be biologically female and beta, but he wants to be, but he actually is, although he doesn't present as male and Omega, or something like that. So it deals with the transgender aspect. It has mating in it, because he mates with his corporal, who is Derek, of course. So it deals with that. It deals with PTSD, because there are a couple in the series, and one of them takes place after they're back, and so it's dealing with a lot of, like, 1920s, post-World War I actual, like, vet issues and societal issues. And it also has the antics of Derek's sister and Lydia and a bunch of other women from the Teen Wolfverse. So it actually has female alphas and femslash. So covers all the bases.
I'm going to rec next, because I have a fic rec also, but can I just say, you know, when we talk about fan fiction as transformative works, we ain't lying. That is not only in the Teen Wolf fic set in the 1920s, but apparently they've all gone to war, and they all have alternative kind of gender, sex, whatever you want to call it, designations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're coming in being like, I want to read stuff that's just like the show, don't click on that. I love fandom sometimes when I love it. So my fic rec is called The Change by CB. And Lita, you are aware of this one. This is the one that I was mentioning.
The sudden ABO-verse.
Yes, this is the sudden ABO-verse one that I prompted. So if you want to know exactly how bizarre my mind is, the original prompt is listed on the fic, and you can be like, what's wrong with her? But I got a really great prompt for it, and essentially it is just a fairly short, pretty much PWP fic, where Matt Murdock is out being Daredevil, all of a sudden the whole world transforms all in one moment, and he is an Omega immediately, and he kind of drags himself back to the office and finds Foggy, who is dealing with immediately being an Alpha, and the two of them turn out to be, you know, pretty in the right place at the right time for each other. It is excellent, and if you like good, well-written smut, and you like ABO, you can't go wrong with that one. So those are the fic recs. And I just want to get maybe some final thoughts from either of you on ABO. So, Chris, what's your final word you want to leave listeners with regards to ABO?
If you haven't tried it, it might be worth looking around because, as we've discussed, there are so many different flavors. It's entirely possible you'll find a flavor, whether it's even if it's as rare as the one that you like that's only sudden ABOverse, there might be a flavor that appeals to you. And if not, there's plenty of other fic in the sea.
I think that's important for anyone listening. I never believe anybody when they say, I just don't like ABO, because I always think, well, that's like saying, I don't like gen fic, right? That's like saying, I don't like romance fic. Well, read enough of it, and you're going to find stuff that changes your mind, right? It's a pretty broad catch-all. You know, pay attention to tagging. If you know you don't like nodding, you don't like nodding. That's not all ABO, right? Lita, what are your final thoughts?
I was going to say kind of the same thing. Like, if you've tried ABO, like, once or twice and you didn't like it, I would encourage you to find a different type of ABO and try it. Find one that is not tagged for MPreg and maybe not even tagged as explicit. Maybe you'll find one that is all about gender or sex inequalities, which can be really fascinating if that's kind of your thing, and the self-lubricating asshole is really not your thing. There's plenty more ABO that doesn't involve that. Or if you're really into the nodding and the self-lubricating assholes, there's plenty of it.
Yes, lots of that. Lots and lots and lots of that.
So that is the ABO episode of our show. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks again to Lita and Chris for having so little shame that they were willing to talk about anal sex and rectums and cervixes dropping with me. Again, keep an eye on our website and Tumblr, which is theotpodcast.com, and our Twitter, which is @theotpodcast. Tweet about us using the #otpodcast. We don't advertise this show at all. It's all word of mouth, so if you like it, tell your friends. Review or subscribe on iTunes, too, because that helps. Believe me, there were times when I considered in the last year whether or not to keep going with this, and your awesome support is why I'm back. I just love every listener so much, and you guys are why I'm here, so keep it up. I appreciate all of it. We're going to be throwing out some requests for FicRec, some questions for you to answer, and some fun links this week on our social networking and our site, so stay tuned. All the great fics we mentioned will also be linked from the website and our AO3 bookmarks, where we are @the_OTP, and we will 100% be back at the end of January, beginning of February, with a new episode. We are working on some really fun ones right now. Finally, thanks again to Peter Chakowski for our theme song and our logo. He also created the really adorable little individual episode graphics for me that went up over the holidays. So check out his music and his webcomic Rock Paper Cynic, because he's awesome. And finally, a reminder to all of you that your kink is not my kink, especially sometimes when your kink is nodding or MPreg, and that is perfectly okay.